We begin the current daf, Mesechtes Bava Metzia, daf Pei Beis. We begin on the bottom of daf Pei Aleph and Beis, two lines off in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is our Mishnah we had mentioned, the Halacha, that if Hilvah al Amashkin, if someone lends someone else money, and the lender takes collateral, so then Shem Mesachri has the halachic status as a Shem Mesachri. There is something that he's gaining by holding on to the collateral. Therefore, when he's watching, he's not watching it for free, he's watching like a Shem Mesachri. And therefore, if it gets stolen from him or gets lost, he's going to be chayiv in that loss. Now that the Gemara said, seemingly our mission is not like Rabbi Eliezer, because the Gemara brings a brisa that brings down seemingly the same exact case. It says if someone lends his friend money on a mashkin, and then the mashkin gets lost, so Rabbi Eliezer says that he just swears that he wasn't negligent, and then he could go ahead and collect his loan money, meaning he's not liable for the loss of the mashkin. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says that no, that the borrower could tell him, like, look, you only lent it to me on the collateral, you lose the collateral, then you lose the loan. So seemingly, the halacha of Amishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer is saying seemingly that he's like a shemachinam. Therefore, as long as it wasn't negligent, he's exempt if it gets lost. And our Mishnah clearly is saying that it's like a shemachinam, where if it gets lost, he would be chayv. That was the Gemara's question. And that's where our Gemara continues and says, Afilatema Rabbi Eliezer Kasha. No, we could even say the town of Amishnah is like Rabbi Eliezer. It's not difficult. Why? Khan, over here where Rabbi Eliezer said that the malva, the lender, on the mashkin will have halacha like a shemachinam, is shemashkin nebishas halva asai, is because he took the collateral at the time of the loan. As we explained in the previous daf, the reasoning for Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, why is he considered only a shemachinam, is because there's no gain. He's not taking the collateral as a way of, okay, look, if you default and you don't pay back the loan, then this is I'm going to collect from this. Because then, yeah, of course, that would be considered as a gain. You're watching it for a purpose, for self-serving purposes, not just for free, not for no purpose. Now, Rabbi Eliezer holds that when a person usually takes a mashkin, it's not taken for the intention of that I could collect from that. It's just to remind you to say, hello, you don't remember that I lent you money? What am I doing holding your stuff? Obviously, I gave you a loan. So therefore, but since it wasn't for any purposes of that he gains of having the mashkin, it's just a way of reminding the guy of his loan. So therefore, that's why it's a shemechina. Khan, however, in the halacha of our Mishnah, is told much shemashkin is shaloi b'shas halvasai. There, the mashkin wasn't taken at the time of the loan. If you take a time of the loan, it's just to remind you, I lent you $1,000 here. Give me something just that I can remind you here. What am I doing holding your ball? But says the Gemara, our Mishnah is talking about where the mashkin was taken not at the time of the loan, rather at a later point in time, meaning when he comes to court and he comes to claim and says, hey, pay me up the loan, and he doesn't have what to pay. So the courts go and take one of his possessions and they give it to the lender as collateral. Where there, definitely, why is that taken? That's taken as a collection form, not as a way of just reminding. So therefore, yeah, over there where it's taken for collection purposes, of course, that's a gain. Now I know that I have security. If he defaults, I have a way to collect from. That's a Shem Mesachar. But Rabbi Eliezer says a Shem Mechinim because there the mashkin was taken at the time of the loan. That's the Gemara's answer. And that's the Gemara asks. How can you say that, but v'idi v'idi, but both the halach of our Mishnah and by the Brisa of Rabbi Eliezer, as we continue on top of Pei Beis and Aleph, Hilvo al Hamashkin Ketanya. The words used by both those cases is where that he lent him money on collateral, which sounds like that the collateral, the mashkin, was taken at the time of the loan. And still the Mishnah tells us that he has halacha like Shem Mesachar, which is not the way we just answered. We wanted to answer that, oh, at the time of the loan, that's like Rabbi Eliezer had said, then that's not for collection purposes, and therefore that's a Shem Mechinam. You can't say that because our Mishnah is talking about when the mashkin was taken at the time of the loan, and yet still considers him as a Shem Mesachar. Seller rather says the Gemara a different approach. Loi kashas. No, not a difficulty. We could say Rabbi Eliezer is like the halacha of our Mishnah. But Khan, Rabbi Eliezer is talking about Shalvo Mois, where the loan was a loan of money. There, you have halacha as a shemachinim, because having the collateral, you don't really gain anything, as we said, because what's the purpose of it? It's just to remind the guy that you have the loan, but you're not gaining anything. But Khan, in the Mishnah, was talking about Shalvo Peiris, where he lent him produce. And if you lend him produce, then you gain something, because produce could rot. And you're happy that you gave it to someone else and he's going to pay you back at a later point in time. And therefore, that loan, you have a benefit, and therefore watching that mashkin is considered as like a Shem Mesachar. So that's the difference. It's not a contradiction. Rabbi Eliezer is saying Shem Mechinim by money, where you don't gain anything in such a loan, whereas by our Mishnah is talking about when you lent in payers, and there is a gain in such a loan, and therefore on the mashkin, since you're watching with a gain, it'll be considered Shem Mesachar. On this answer, the Gemara also asks, but we learned at the end of our Mishnah that We were up until now explaining the opinion of the Tanakama. We wanted to know, is the Tanakama like Rabbi Eliezer or not? So we're trying to resolve it. On that, the question is, the Savior then brings it, Rabbi Huda Omer, he disagrees with the Tanakama, and he says, if it's a loan of money, then the lender will have halacha like a shemechinim on the mashkin. But if you lend him fruits, produce, then he'll have halacha like a shemesacher. Now, it says the Gemara, Machla, the inference is, meaning Rabbi Huda is arguing on the Tanakama and differentiating. He says, wait a second. He's saying that he has halacha like a shemesacher on the mashkin, but wait a second, says Rabbi Huda, it's not so clear. By payrus, I agree that it's going to be shemesacher, but by money, not. Now, that sounds like that, according to Tanakama, even by money, he held that it would be like a shemesacher, which again contradicts the answer we just gave. We wanted to say that Rabbi Eliezer is the Tanakama, and Rabbi Eliezer says like a shemechinim is by money, and by payrus, that's the halacha of a mishra, toma shemesacher. But clearly, the Tanakama, who we're trying to say Rabbi Eliezer is like, holds even by money that the malva will have a halacha like a shemesacher on the mashkin. So I think Gemara says, no, it's not a difficulty. Kulu Rabbi Yehudi. Actually, there is no Tanakama in Rabbi Yehuda. The whole opinion of our Mishnah is actually one opinion. It's all Rabbi Yehuda. And there are words missing. This is the way you're supposed to read the halacha of our Mishnah. And therefore, since all Rabbi Yehuda, we could show you how it's all Rabbi Eliezer too. Because the Mishnah says as follows. Hilvo ala mashkin shem resacher. So that's the halacha we quoted from the Mishnah in the previous daf that we're discussing. If a lender lends something to somebody else on collateral, so that for that collateral, the lender has a halacha like a shem resacher. And that's the words I'm missing, and that the Mishnah is supposed to say, when did we say this? That he's going to have the halacha like a shem resacher. It's shalvo peiris, which is like the answer we just gave before, when he lent him produce. Then he's gaining so that if it might rot, so he's gaining that he gave it to someone else, that he lent it to him, and he'll give him back fresh produce when he pays him back. But if he lent him money, actually has the halacha like a shemechinim, which is exactly like Rabbi Eliezer said in the Braisa. Now, the word should be not that Rabbi Huda Oimer, as if Rabbi Huda is disagreeing with this first opinion, it's Sher Rabbi Huda Oimer, because Rabbi Huda says, meaning it's all his opinion. When you lend him money, he has the halacha like a shemechinim. When you lend him produce, then he has a halacha on the mashkin like a shemer sacher. And therefore, again, that's exactly Rabbi Eliezer, so we could say he's a Tana of our Mishnah. Now, that thing more asked, but ihachi, that's the case, the way you just described it, then kama le masnitin le Rabbi Akiva. And then you're telling us that our Mishnah does not come out like Rabbi Akiva. Now, the reason for that is because in that Braisa that we're quoting, that was Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that is like a shemechinam, there was his disputant, was Rabbi Akiva, who said actually has halacha like a shemesacher. Because the way we're reading the Mishnah now that it's one Tana, you're saying that although the halacha of the Mishnah says like a shemesacher, but you said avol hamavol mois, but if you lent him money, that has halacha like a shemechinim. And that's not like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said in all situations the halacha is going to be that has halacha like a shemesacher. Now the problem with this is that the Gemara tells the Masechet Sanhedrin of Peivav Mar Aleph that all anonymous Tanoic teachings are, when it's a Stam Mishnah, we say it's really Rabbi Meir. When it's a Stam Sifra, it doesn't know who it is, we say it's Rabbi Yehuda. When you have a Stam Sifri, we say it's Rabbi Shimon. And all of them are going according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who was their Rebbe. Now, therefore, that's a challenge, because although we wanted to say that it's the Mishnah like Rabbi Eliezer, and we said, no, we could resolve it as we're resolving it now, that read it as one Tana, and it's like Rabbi Eliezer, where although the Mishnah says like a Shem Esachar, it's only regarding to Peiris, but regarding to money, which was what Rabbi Akiva was disputing with Rabbi Akiva, then there's going to have the halacha like a Shem Echinam. Now, the problem with that is, if that's how you're reading our Mishnah, that means Rabbi Akiva, who said in his dispute with Rabbi Eliezer that actually with money he's going to have a halacha like a shem esacher, that means our Mishnah is not like him. And the problem with that is that when we have a Stam Mishnah, we try saying that it goes like Rabbi Akiva. So although you're resolving the Mishnah like Rabbi Eliezer, but it's not going to be like Rabbi Akiva. So Eli rather says the Gemara, Machvarta, it's clear the Masnitin the like Rabbi Eliezer. You're right. We'd rather say that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, which if we keep it as the simple translation of the Mishnah, that's what it sounds like. Anytime you lend money to someone else on a mashkin, then you have the lender has a halacha like a shem esacher, which is how Rabbi Akiva says, but not like Rabbi Eliezer, who, again, in the simple understanding, he says that when you lend on the mashkin, you have the halacha like a shem echinam. Now the Gemara asks, now that we introduced this machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, we're related to how we, if Rabbi Eliezer is going to be the Tana of our Mishnah or not, so the Gemara says, Lema, let us say that this machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, but the loy shavi mashkin shir zuzi. Their case that they're talking about is where the mashkin, the collateral, did not equal the amount of the loan. It was worth much less than what was the money being lent. And their machlekes is regarding the halacha of Shmuel, which is, the Shmuel said, if someone lent his friend 1,000 zuz, and he gave him a collateral, just the handle of a sickle, which is a type of a tool, just giving the handle of a tool, that of it, kata de magli, says Shmuel, his halacha is, that if the lender loses that mashkin, even though just the handle of a sickle, of du alfa zuza, he loses the equivalent, what the counterpart of that is, the 1,000 zuz that he lent to the borrower. Now, as Rashi explains, the Gemara wants to say the machlokes is in the halacha of Shmuel when the collateral does not equal the amount of the loan, because the Gemara is assuming that if it was equal, then Rabbi Eliezer would agree that the purposes of that the lender took it from the borrower is for collection purposes, because it's equal to that amount. So obviously he wants to have the same amount that if the guy doesn't pay, he'll have where to collect from. Because if it's just a reminder, then why do you need it to equal that amount? So if it's equal to that amount, so the Gemara wants to say that Rabbi Eliezer would agree that then it would be for collection purposes. But, and therefore he would have a halacha like Shomer Sachar. But when are they disagreeing about? When the collateral does not equal the amount of the loan. Rabbi Eliezer does not hold the halacha of Shmuel, and who says that you'll lose all the 1,000 zuz if you lose just the handle of that sickle. Because according to Shmuel, he holds that the purposes of the collateral was taken for collection purposes. And if you lose that, then you're losing the whole thing, which its counterpart is for. That Rabbi Eliezer does not hold of. And the reason for that is because since it doesn't equal the amount of the loan, it was just taken for a recollection to recall that a loan was taken, but not for collection purposes. And therefore, he's like a Shem Rechinim. He's not watching for purposes of gain. He's not gaining anything. He's not holding this, oh, if the guy defaults in 1,000 zuz, I'll have 20 zuz to where to collect from. It's not what he has it for. So he's watching it just for free. And it's just a reminder to the borrower. Now, Rabbi Akiva, however, holds halacha of Shmuel, and he says that no, that the lender took it with the intention of this collateral, as long as the guy doesn't return it, he'll have the loan, he'll have where to collect from on some level. So therefore, he holds the halacha of like Shmuel, where, yeah, if you lose the collateral, then you lose all of the loan. And that says the Gemara, no. Ibe de lo yishav imashkin shir zuzi. We could tell you that if the collateral was not worth the amount of the money of the loan, the kulam alesl of Shmuel, that actually no one holds the halacha of Shmuel. And that is according to Rabbi Eliezer, when the lender loses the handle, he actually doesn't lose anything of the loan, because like a Shem Rechinam, if it gets lost, the Shem Rechinam is exempt, and he's not watching for any purposes. And according to Rabbi Akiva, you're only going to lose what's equal to the amount of the collateral. Meaning he holds that you are a Shem Asachar, because you are taking it for somewhat of a collection, but not that it equals the amount of the loan. It's, yeah, if the guy defaults on 1,000 zuz loan, at least this handle, which is worth 20 zuz, yeah, let me get something out of it. Who knows, you know? But that's all he's going to lose when he loses the handle is the 20 zuz. He's chayav on the gedeva naveda of that handle, but doesn't lose the whole loan. So what is the machlekes then between the Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva? Meaning because the way Rabbi Kiva's wordings are, that he says that if you lose the collateral, you lose the loan. Now, says the Gemara, no, it's not in Shmuel's halacha that as if even if the collateral is not equal to the amount of the loan, that you lose the whole thing. Or it could be that even Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold of that halacha. But v'hacha b'dishavi shir zuzi, here what they're disputing is regarding when the collateral is worth the amount of the loan. And so what is the machlekes? Why does, let's say, Rabbi Lazar hold that you don't lose the loan because you're not watching it for the purposes, not considered like you have it and it's for your own purposes, and if you lose it, you lose the amount of the loan, whereas Rabbi Kiva holds you do. Because if a commit like Rabbi Yitzchak, they're disagreeing in the halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak. The Rabbi Yitzchak says, "Minayin lebal chayiv." From where do we know that a creditor, shekayna mashkin, that he actually acquires the collateral for all practical purposes? In other words, and therefore, even if an einus happens, it's his loss because it's like he owned it for that period of time. When you lose something, it's your own loss, no one else's loss. Whereas if you're a shomer, you could say if it's an einus, okay, beyond your control, what he's supposed to do. Here we say that it's like his. Where do we know that from? Shneimer, because the pasuk says in Devarim, and this is in Perek Chavdal Pasuk Yigimel, that the pasuk there is talking about Hashav Tashav Le'asava, you should return the person's security that you took from him. Kevai Hashemesh, when the sun comes, B'shachav B'salmasai, and then that he could lay down with his clothing, because at night time you give it back to him, over racheka, and then he will bless you. It says the pasuk, which our Gemara quotes, lochati yitzadaka, and for you, it will be considered as charity. Now, that says Rabbi Yitzchak, im ein kain mashkin, if the lender did not acquire the collateral, so tzedakah minole, how is it charity when he gives it to the borrower, the collateral back? Obviously, obviously from here you see that the creditor acquires it. It's like his. When he gives it back to the borrower, his collateral, it's actually charity because he's giving him something from his own thing. That's Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha. Now, therefore, says the Gemara, that's the machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Kiva holds like the halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak that you acquired it. So it's yours. If it's yours, no matter what happens, so then it's your loss. And therefore, if it's equal to the amount of the loan, you lost it. Now you lost that equivalent. Where Rabbi Elazar holds that no, you didn't acquire it, and it's not yours, and therefore, since it's you have no gain in that, you're like a shayim rechinam, where if something happens, you just swear that you weren't negligent, and therefore you'll be exempt, and therefore then you could get your loan money back from the borrower. And that has to come out of a tizber. Is that logical to say that that's the machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva? But Amr d'am Rabbi Yitzchak, but when did Rabbi Yitzchak say his halacha, that in other words, that the lender fully acquires the collateral, that it's like it's his, like he owns it, which we want to say that Rabbi Kiva is saying, like, that's b'mashkenoi shaloi b'shas halvasai. That's when he takes the collateral not at the time of the loan. Because that pasuk that Rabbi Yitzchak brings is talking about when the collateral is taken by the agent of the court. Because previously the pasuk says over there, b'chutz tamid, you have to stand on the outside when the person comes to give you the collateral. Now, the Gemara tells us later on, the Kovir Gimel Med Aleph, that that's talking about by the agent of the court. Now, that's definitely going to be acquired by the lender as if he totally owns it, because the purposes of why he's taking it is for collection purposes. So there, everyone would agree, even Rabbi Elazar, that he has fully acquired it. But Avol Mashkin B'Shas Alvasim Yamar, but says the Gemara, but did Rabbi Yitzchak say as halacha that when you take the collateral during the time of the loan itself? In other words, you cannot compare that when Rabbi Yitzchak halacha says you acquire it to say that that's what Rabbi Kiva is saying when he's discussing taking the collateral at the time of the loan. Because the machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva is, as we said previously, the words are hamava ala mashkin, which is that the loan was taken on collateral, you took it at that time. Who said over there that you want to compare Rabbi Kiva to Rabbi Yitzchak, that to say that you acquired it as if it's yours to Rabbi Yitzchak, who was talking about taking it after the time of the loan? Maybe by the time of the loan, it's not considered as if you fully owned it. And therefore, that wouldn't explain the halacha of Rabbi Kiva. So Ela rather says the Gemara, mishkenu shalei b'shas halva asai. You're right. Taking the collateral not at the time of the loan, which was Rabbi Yitzchak's case, says the Gemara, kuli alma isla Rabbi Yitzchak. Actually, everyone, even Rabbi Elazar, would agree to the halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak that it would be considered owned totally by the lender, and therefore then he would be chayv. And even Rabbi Elazar would agree that if you lose the collateral, then you lost the loan. But v'hocha b'mishkan b'shas halvasi. But here, what actually the machlokes is regarding taking a collateral at the time of the loan, and now this will explain the halacha of our Mishnah, which we're saying Rabbi Kiva is the Tana Kama of our Mishnah, and we'll understand the dispute that he has with Rabbi Elazar. U'b'shomer aveda kamifagi. The Gemara explains that their machlokes in this halacha of our Mishnah of a lender watching a mashkin is similar to the machlokes of a shomer aveda, of someone who is watching a lost object that he found. Now, the reason for that is that the reason of Rabbi Kiva is that if someone is considered a shomer sachar, because of the mitzvah that he's performing. Why does that make him a shomer sachar? Because the halacha tells us that if someone's oisik b'mitzvah, if he's involved in doing a mitzvah, which lending someone money is considered a mitzvah, kesef tal v'asami, so then when he's engaged in that mitzvah, he's parted from another mitzvah. And what is the gain of that? That if he wants to, he doesn't have to give bread to a poor person knocking on his door, and he gets to save that money. So that is a shomer sachar because of that gain. Whereas Rabbi Elazar holds that no, that that's not considered a valid form of gain, and therefore that wouldn't give him the status of a shomer sachar, rather a shomer chinam, and that explains their machlokes regarding if it gets lost from someone that's watching, the lender who's watching a mashkin, who's engaged in the mitzvah of halva, if he's going to be like a shomer sachar or a shomer chinam, which is the same machlokes we have with a shomer aveda. Didma, like we learned, that is its own dispute. Shomer aveda regarding someone that found a lost object and he brings it into his house, like the pasuk tells us, v'asavta tech pesecha, you should bring it into your house. So the same machlokes that we have with Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar is the same dispute regarding someone that watches a lost object. Rabbi Amar Kishay Mechinim. He says that you have the halacha like watching for free. Because what's the gain? No one's paying me anything to watch this guy's thing. I bring it to my house. Okay, I wait till I find the guy who lost. Rav Yosef Amar Kishay Mesachar. He says that no, you have the halacha like Kishay Mesachar. Why are you gaining? Why are you going to be chayav Magneva Veda now? Because since you're engaged in a mitzvah, in returning someone's lost object by watching it, so that is a gain, because now, since you're Isik B'Mitzvah, you're parted from another mitzvah, you won't have to give bread to a poor person. That's a gain, and therefore you'll be Chayav Anganeva and Aveda. So ask the Gemara, Leimad Rav Yosef Tanoihi. So, based on what we're answering now to explain the Machlokes to Bekiva and Rabbi Eliezer, which again, now we understand the halacha of our Mishnah, that why is someone that's Maval and Ashkin considered Shem Esachah? What's the gain? The gain we're saying for Rabbi Kiva is a gain that since you're performing a mitzvah, you don't have to do another mitzvah like spending money on tzedakah. So it seems like that's the Machlokes Amarom of Rav Yosef and Rabbah. Now, in other words, what the Gemara is essentially saying is that Rabbah most definitely has to be a Machlokes Tanoim, because Rabbi Kiva obviously does not hold like Rabbah, and Rabbah neither could he explain Rabbi Kiva in a different way of what the Machlekes is between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Kiva, because we already tried many, and we didn't have any other interpretation but the one the Gemara is saying right now. That's regarding the schar of performing, the gain you have by performing a mitzvah. So Rabbah is definitely Machlekes Tanoim, where he's like Rabbi Eliezer, but not like Rabbi Kiva. But the question the Gemara is asking is, but Rabbi Yosef, do you have to say that his opinion is Tali in the Machlekes Tanoim? And that is to say that Rabbi Eliezer, who says by the Mashkin that the lender has halacha like a shemichinim, would not hold a Rabbi Yosef, who says that in the seemingly the same type of a case, that by the case of Aveda, that you have halacha like a shemichinim. In other words, do we have to say Rabbi Eliezer, who says that by performing a mitzvah, you're not considered that you're getting a gain to be made into Shem Esachar, would not be like Rav Yosef, who says that, no, when you're performing a mitzvah, like watching a lost object, that is considered a gain, and therefore you would have a halacha like Shem Esachar. So says the Gemara, no, we don't have to say that Rav Yosef's halacha is contingent in a machlekes tanoim, where he's definitely like Rabbi Kiva, but the question we had was, maybe he's not like Rabbi Eliezer, and that the Gemara says, no. B'shem Raveda, in the case of Rabbi Yosef disputes with Rabbah regarding watching lost object, the kuli alma isla Rabbi Yosef. Everyone would agree and hold like the halacha of Rabbi Yosef. In other words, Rabbah had to be contrived and to say that his opinion is like some tanoim and not like others. But Rabbi Yosef would tell you that Rabbi Eliezer also holds like me, that when there's a full-fledged mitzvah like watching lost object, then you'll be pater from a mitzvah, and that would be a gain, and then you'll have the halacha like a Shem Esachar. But v'hach over here, in the case that Rabbi Eliezer is discussing and arguing with Rabbi Kiva, the reason why Rabbi Eliezer holds he's going to be pater is because he holds that there is no mitzvah being performed over here. Why? Because as the Gemara explains in Amud Beis, here we're not talking about just a regular loan. You're right, a regular loan is a mitzvah, and then actually Rabbi Eliezer would agree that you'd be like a Shem Esachar. Why does he say in this case you're going to have a lacha like a Shem Rechinam? Is because b'malvet tzorich l'mashkin k'mifliki. The case they're disputing is regarding when the lender needs the collateral to use it. What does it mean he's using it? Because he's renting it out to other people, and by that he's diminishing the amount of the debt that's owed to him. So what's the machlekes? Marsava Rebbe Kiva held that even so, mitzvah ka'avet shalvo. He's still performing a mitzvah that he lent the guy money, and part of that loan was to have the collateral. So b'hav Hashem Esachar. So therefore, Rebbe Kiva held that he's going to be like Hashem Esachar. Umar sava lav mitzvah ka'avet. But Rebbe Eliezer held that no, he's not performing a mitzvah with this loan. Why not? Although there's a mitzvah, but regarding the collateral, shela nasi miskaven. He's doing it for his own benefit, and therefore, actually, b'hav Hashem Mechinam. Regarding the collateral, that part of the loan, he cannot be considered that it's being done for the mitzvah purpose. Although it would sound like that benefit actually in its own right should make him a Shem Esachar. That's not the case, because he's not doing it for his own, he's not gaining anything from the actual loan itself. But neither can you say it that it's going to make him into a Shem Esachar because of the mitzvah that he's engaged in, and therefore he's pater from another mitzvah of giving tzedakah. And that says Rabbi Elazar that no, actually it's not considered enough of engaging in a mitzvah to say that you're exempt from another one, and therefore that it'll be a gain to make you into Shem Esachar, because you're not doing it for such altruistic lishma purposes. Because why are you taking this? Because you want to be able to diminish the amount of the debt, which is better for the lender. He knows he's going to get his money back. Therefore, it's not a full-fledged mitzvah purpose, and that's why Rabbi Elazar said you're going to be like a Shem Echina. But, in actuality, in the case of Rav Yosef, like a Shem Avedu, or a regular loan, which wasn't being used, which is that the lender needs the mashkin, then it would be a full-fledged mitzvah. And then, says the Gemara, even Rabbi Elazar would agree to Rav Yosef that something like a Shem Avedu would be considered a Shemir Sachar. Now the Gemara continues with the halacha of a Mishnah. The Mishnah concluded by saying, "Abashol Omer, a related halacha, that mutal adam lahaskim ashkoyne shalani, a person is allowed to rent out the collateral, the security that he has from a poor person, liyas peches of haylech, so that he could continuously rent out his collateral. That by renting it out, he gets money paid for that, those rental services, and this in that process he diminishes the amount of the debt that the pauper owes him, and therefore it's a win-win situation." Amr Avchanan Bar Ami Amr Shmuel, he says, Halacha Kabashal, Halacha Falzai Kabashal, that he's allowed to rent it out, even though it was given to him as collateral, because it's going to ultimately be like a Shemra, like he's like Hashem Saveda, he's returning something where it's a waste. You just might as well rent it out, because it's only going to gain for the poor person. Now, but says the Gemara, V'af Abashal Amr, but now even Abashal didn't say this Halacha, that you could take the collateral and rent it out, thus giving a gain to the borrower. Ella, only in such types of things, like bemara, like a hoe, which is a utensil that's used to plow the earth, or ufasel, which is adz, which is a type of a tool which smooths out the planks, or vikardim, type of a hatchet, which is the tool of a carpenter that's used to cut and to chop from either side, it has a blade. Now, those types of tools, if they're given as collateral, that's where Abishol said you can go ahead and rent it out to other people to diminish the amount of the debt, because Hayovanovish Igrayu, since they get a lot of money for being rented out, and Vezutu Pechsayu, and also the deficiency, the diminishment of the tool, that it gets ruined, is very little. That's where Abishol said as Halacha that, look, you know, the guy has it just sitting by you, and you could be renting it out and taking away the amount of the debt. Most definitely do that, because it's a big gain and a very little loss. But what the Gemara is inferring is, but if it would be a huge loss, whatever you'd be renting out would really damage his thing and wouldn't bring in that much, those types of things, even Abishol would agree that you don't rent those things out to other people and you just hold on to it as collateral. Now the Gemara continues to the next Mishnah, somewhat related with the previous Mishnah regarding workers, in regards to what type of a shomer do we view them as, shemechinim, shemesacha, what are their halachic status? So the Mishnah tells us, Hamavr chavis mimakum lamakum mishavara. If someone was transporting a barrel from one place to another place and it broke on the way, says the Mishnah, bein shemechinim bein shemesacha, whether he was watching it for free and therefore he was transporting, or if he was getting paid to watch it, Yishava, he swears that he wasn't negligent and he's going to be exempt. Now the Gemara will explain what's the reason why a Shemir Sacher, which was one of the two cases we just described, would be exempt with an oath. Because even if he swears that he wasn't negligent, he's still chayiv. Because this is not a case of when he trips and he breaks the barrel. It's not a case of an oinis. Rather, it'd be like the equivalent of Geneva and Avedi, which is somewhere in the middle. Because falling and tripping and having the barrel break when you're transporting is, it's not a negligence, but neither is it an oinus. So it's somewhere in the middle, which is like Geneva and Aveda, and Shemesach is Chayav and Geneva Aveda. So the Gemara will address that, why is it enough just to swear that it was negligent, and then he'll be exempt. But that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yezim, he says, look, Zevze Yishava. In other words, I also heard from my teachings, like the Tanakhama, who will see in the Gemara as Reb Meir, that either Shemer could just swear and be exempt. But, says Rabbi Eliezer, says, I wonder regarding both of these cases, if it's possible for both of them just to swear and exempt themselves. And the Gemara will explain what is Rabbi Eliezer's Tamiya, what's his wondering regarding both the Shem Esacha and the Shem Echinam, why he held that it's he doesn't understand, why could they just swear and exempt themselves. So the Gemara quotes Tanabon, we'll learn the Brayso, which elaborates on this halacha of the Mishnah. Same case, says the Braisa, Mavr Chavis Lechaveroi Mimakim Lamakim B'Shabar. If someone's transporting a barrel for his friend from one place to another and he broke it on the way, says the first opinion, Bein Shemechin, Bein Shemesach, Yeshava Divrei Meir, which is the opinion of the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, whether he was watching it for free or watching it getting paid, then he swears that he wasn't negligent and he's exempt. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. Behudaimer, which this opinion was not mentioned in the Mishnah, he says, Shemechinim Yeshava, a person who is watching it for free, he swears that he wasn't negligent, and then he's exempt. But Nosisach Yishalm, if he was watching it for pay, so then, now that it broke, even if he wasn't negligent, he'll pay. Rabbi Yezim, he says, no, he says, Zev Zeh Yishava. My tradition is just like Reb Meir, that in both cases, Allah is that they swear in their exam. But V'tmeyani imichilin Zev Zeh Yishava, he says, I wonder how is that possible that both of them could swear and exempt themselves. That's the price. So first the Gemara says, Lememre, is this to say, from what we see from the Braisa and from our Mishnah, because we're saying Reb Meir is the Tana of our Mishnah, the Sover Meir, seemingly that it sounds like Reb Meir holds, the Nitkal, when someone trips, La Poshehu, that's not considered negligence, because what is Reb Meir saying? He says that he swears that he was not negligent. What do you mean? What he did, he tripped. So what are you swearing you weren't negligent? Meaning he didn't do anything else, wasn't doing him on no hands, wasn't doing anything that was negligence that made him trip. Now, because definitely he wasn't anything less than tripping. So therefore, if he's swearing that he wasn't negligent, obviously you're saying but that the tripping itself is not negligence. Now, moreover, Reb Meir exempts not just Hashem Echinim, but even Hashem Esachar. So obviously, he for sure can't consider it when you trip as a negligence, because he's considering it not even not a negligence, but not even like the category of Gnev and Avedi. He's actually considering it like an oinus, like beyond the person's control. Not only not negligent, it's like, what should I do? Because he's exempting Hashem Esachar, and Hashem Esachar is only exempt in the category of an oinus. So ask the Gemara, is that to say that Reb Meir holds that when someone trips, it's not considered negligence of his? Like you should have been more careful while you're doing tripping? But Tanya, we'll learn the Braisa, Nishbur Kadav Alei Silke. The Braisa discusses if someone was walking and his jug broke and he didn't pick it up from the street. Or Nafla Gamli Velei Amida, or his camel fell and he didn't pick it up from the street. And then something else gets damaged in his camel or his jug that was on the floor. So Reb Meir Mechayv Bezekin. Reb Meir holds that the person is liable for the damages of, let's say, his jug that he was walking, he tripped and he fell, and the jug was there, and then someone else got hurt from it. He's liable for those damages. V'chachamayim v'chacham disagree, and they hold no patim in the adam. You're exempt from the courts here on this world, but v'chay b'din Hashem, you're liable at the hands of heaven. In other words, heaven holds you to a higher standard that you should have taken responsibility for that. Now, v'kaimalon. Now, the Gemara tells in Baba Kama and Daf Chavtesim and Alf and Perkam and Niach that the benitkal peshea pligi. That's a big discussion in the Gemara over there. But ultimately, the Gemara's conclusion over there is that when someone trips, their machlekes is regarding are you considered negligent or not. Chacham held that you're not. Therefore, since it wasn't your negligence, it's not your fault. And therefore, if something happens, you're patim din adam. Whereas your mayor holds you're going to be chayiv is because he says you were negligent. The fact that this thing that you tripped and this thing fell was your fault. You were at fault. You were negligent, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. So one thing we see at least is that it contradicts this Reb Meir of this first price, so, who is saying that for sure, as we proved, that Nitkal is not Peshea. To the contrary, actually, he might even be saying that Nitkal is an Oinus. But that contradicts the way Reb Meir is quoted here in this price. So, Reb Elazar. Reb Elazar says, Tavra, that's definitely difficult. And you have to say, Misha Shanazu, Leshanazu. Whoever taught the first price, which we're saying is the same as Allah of Mishnah, obviously did not teach the second price. Our first price held that Nitkal is not a Peshea. And the second price held that Nitkal is a Peshea. So that explains the opinion of Reb Meir in our first Braisa, which explains the halacha of our Mishnah. That the reason why Hashem Echinim and Hashem Esachar could both swear that, look, you know, I wasn't negligent, so although I tripped and it broke, I'm going to be exempt, is because Reb Meir holds that actually Nitkal is like an oinus. So even the Hashem Esachar is going to be pot. Now that v'as Reb Yehuda l'meim, that's Reb Yehuda, the second opinion the Braisa came to say that no, Hashem Echinim Yishava, you're right, Hashem Echinim was watching for free, he could swear and exempt himself by saying he wasn't negligent, but Nais Yisach Yishal, someone that was watching for pay, has to pay. The reason for that is because Haiki Dine v'Haiki Dine, each one according to their halachas. In other words, because Reb Yehuda holds that most definitely, someone that trips is not considered negligent. So it wasn't a Peshaya. And therefore, you're right. Hashem Echinim will be exempt if he didn't have any other negligence. But Hashem Esachar will pay because even though it's not a Peshaya, it's not a negligence, but Hashem Esachar is chayiv even if it's not a negligence, if something that's not an oinus happens, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold it's an oinus. So it's not a Peshaya, but neither is an oinus either. Therefore, only the Hashem Echinim will exempt himself, but the Hashem Esachar will be chayiv. On that, v'asra b'liyazlim, that's where the third opinion in the Braisa comes to say, that no, in, yes, Gemara, Kremei, the tradition I have is like the first opinion, that of Reb Meir, where both of them could swear and exempt themselves. But however, Tameani, but I wonder if it's really true that both of them could swear by saying that they weren't negligent to exempt themselves. Why is that? So he explains. Bishlem Mishamachinam, I very well understand regarding someone who's watching for free that you would want to say Mishtabed Le Pashaba, that he could swear that he didn't have any other negligence, and the actual tripping itself is neither negligence itself. So therefore, he would be exempting himself by swearing he wasn't negligent. But the first question Rabbi Eliezer has is, but a paid guardian, Amai Mishtabeya, why is he swearing? What are you swearing, that you weren't negligent? Even if you're not negligent, you still have to pay, because this wasn't an oinus, it wasn't beyond your control, like the animal just died. You could have been more careful, so you weren't negligent, but it's not an oinus. So that's question number one. So he doesn't understand how you could swear by Hashem Esachar. Moreover, but then he says, even the other case of Hashem Echinam, he says, I don't understand that either. Because I could understand if, let's say, the place where he dropped the barrel and it broke was in a place that had a slope. Where you could say, that's very close to being an einus, because since that was the place he had to transport, it's almost impossible not to trip over there. So good. There you could say that's an einus, and therefore, the Hashem Echinam is going to be exempt in that place. But Shalei b'mokam madrin, but in a place which was not slope, it's just a straight ground, so that, as Rabbi Eliezer, well, most definitely, and why did you trip? Why did it fall? Because you were clumsy, you were indifferent, you were negligent. Me matzi mishtabed le pasha, could he swear over there that I didn't do anything else negligent? Forget about anything else. The fact that you tripped, what are you doing? You were negligent. And therefore, even the Shem Echinim, if it wasn't the place that was sloped, which you could say is close to being an einus, and therefore there I could understand that maybe it'll be like the category of Gneva and Veda and you'll be exempt. But Shem Echinim itself should be chayv even in the case when it wasn't the slope. And continues Rabbi Eliezer on the top of Pei Gimel Min Aleph. He says, and actually, Vafilu B'makom Madrin Nami, he says, even in a place where there was a slope, I still don't understand that even over there how the Shem Echinim could exempt themselves with a Shvua, because if it's a place where people are commonly around, wherever it was that he was transporting on the streets, I don't understand how he could exempt himself with a Shavua without having to bring witnesses. Because if it's in a place where there's no one that sees this and there's no proof regarding what happened when you tripped, so there I could understand, you could swear, look, I wasn't negligent, and I understand that it was sloped. So, okay, it's not a negligence that you tripped on the slopey area. We could understand how that could happen. So that would be like the category of Gneva and Aveda, where Hashem Echinim is exempt for. But what Rabbi Eliezer asks is, but in a place where there is sight, meaning where witnesses are around that could have seen what happened, then they see Rayiv and Nifter, then the Hashem Echinim should have to bring proof and witnesses, and only then be exempt, and he cannot exempt himself with a Shavua that it wasn't negligent. Because the time, like we learned in the Brisa, Isa ben Yehuda Omer, it says in the Pasuk in Shemois, the Pasuk is in Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Tes and Yud, it says, Ki in Ishel Re'eyu Chamoy or Ishor Yosef, someone's going to give to his friend a donkey or an ox or a sheep or any animal to watch. And then the animal it dies or gets broken or it gets taken captive, whatever it is that happens to the animal. So it says there in the Pasuk, if Ein Raya, if no one saw, to prove that, like what he's claiming to exempt himself, the Shimer. So then, Shavuos Hashem Tiyah Bein Shneihem, that the oath of Hashem should be between the two of them, where the pasuk there says that where he swears that, look, I didn't touch it, I didn't do anything wrong, and to exempt himself. But says Isi Ben Yehuda, Hayesh Raya, what you infer from the pasuk is, but if someone did see, then Yavi Raya V'Yifter. Then you have to bring proof, and you have to bring witnesses, and only then could you be exempt. And then Rabbi Eliezer says, I don't understand. I don't see how Hashem Esachar could exempt himself. And even Hashem Echinam, I don't understand, because when it's not in a sloped area, well, then it's negligence. How is he exempting himself by saying he wasn't negligent in any other way? And even says Rabbi Eliezer, even if it is B'makom Madrin, even if it is a slope, still, how could you exempt yourself just with a Shavua? You should have to bring witnesses, and if you don't bring witnesses, you're going to be chayiv. So therefore he says, I don't understand, although I had the same tradition as Reb Meir, I don't understand how the halacha could be that both of them, when they're carrying the barrel, could exempt themselves by just making a shvua that it wasn't negligent. Now, however, as Rashi points out, Reb Meir however held that nitkel, he held, if someone trips, is actually an einus. So therefore, even the Shem Esachar is going to be pata, as he said, by both Shem Echinim and Shem Esachar. And moreover, he doesn't hold like Isi, and therefore he holds that it's enough, even if it's a place where there is raya, where there are witnesses, you could exempt yourself. As the Pasuk says, with Shavuos Hashem Tiyah Bein Shneihem, therefore he held, not like Rabbi Eliezer, that you could exempt yourself with the Shavuah, both with Shem Echinim and with Shem Esachar.